Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Welcome to our show. We're delighted that you're here. This is Mind Shifters Radio. And we're not going to hear Jeannie's voice for a little while. Dr. Tim, are you with us? Well, it sounds like Dr. Tim isn't with us yet either. In any event, good afternoon. I'm in the rainy city of Chicago today. Yesterday was this awesome blue sky, and today it's rainy and cool, looking very nice. And we're celebrating day, I believe it's day 83 of our ongoing celebration of Memorial Day. And why would we be selling Memorial Day or celebrating Memorial Day for so long? Because we're committed to bringing peace to the planet and putting an end to war. How are we going to do that? Well, here's the invitation. We invite you today to look at one issue in your life where you are willing to forgive, where you are willing to be responsible for any form, the smallest or the largest hostility or fear, and where you're willing to let loose of that, to remove it. And the removal of hostility and fear in the ancient Aramaic is called forgiveness. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with letting other people off the hook because you have hostility or fear in your mind. It's how you change the contents of your mind. The Greeks of course, your Greek translations, we've been taught, you know, I have something terrible and painful happening inside of me, but it's all your fault, and it's okay, I'll forgive you, which, of course, leaves that terrible, painful thing, whatever it is, fully happening within yourself. And once you realize that and you begin to forgive, you change the content of your mind. And if you're not familiar with how to do that, the technology has been hidden for almost 2,000 years, but we have rediscovered it direct from the Aramaic Kabbalah's manuscript. Is the manuscript we're working from. It's a copy of the oldest known New Testament in its original Aramaic language. And we're translating that text into English, and lo and behold, forgiveness is how you change the contents of your mind, not about letting other people off the hook. So when I hear people saying, oh, Michael, you know, I don't need that forgiveness stuff because I've already forgiven everybody, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my children, my former spouse, my present spouse, I've even forgiven my future spouses. I know that that person has done zero forgiveness work because they've been taught a Trojan horse. They've been slipped something that isn't true, that isn't what it appears to be. Letting other people off the hook because you have pain inside of you, because you have turmoil, because you have frustration, anger, upset, has nothing whatsoever to do with forgiveness. That's pardoning, nice thing to do. But if you think when you've pardoned, you've forgiven, then you leave your forgiveness work undone, which makes the ongoing trauma and drama continue. And if you never learn to go inside yourself and collapse the source of your pain, then you get to live the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? So if you jump on the website, www.whyagain.com, and you look on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says download worksheets. Be sure to download the first four items under that link. One is an explanation, written explanation of the forgiveness process. Two is the actual worksheet, the seven-step reality management worksheet. It's the how-to of forgiveness from the Aramaic. Three is a link to an MP3 of a sample worksheet. About 2 weeks ago, a young lady was very courageous, came on the show and went through an awesome worksheet, probably one of the most powerful ones I've ever seen. And so you can listen to that show, just download that link, and you can burn it to an MP3. If you want to introduce this work to others, make as many copies as you like of that MP3 on CD and pass them around. People will be flabbergasted when they hear what happened in that particular radio show. And then the fourth link is another radio show which gives us another sample worksheet that shows how the mind wants to go and talk about someone else and focus on someone else while there's an internal challenge. And so the forgiveness process is how you get to your internal challenge and you change it. And so that's what we're here for. And Jeannie, are you with us? Dr. Tim, are you with us? David, are you with us? Looks like I'm hanging out here by myself today. I don't know if Jeannie had trouble getting on the website, for those who might be listening. I hope that's not the case, because that means that the chat room is not operating. And I hope that it is, but I don't know. So here I am, and I'm just taking a quick look in the chat room to see if it's up and operating. Perhaps Jeannie, you know, we're in two different cities now. She's in Bristol, Tennessee, and I'm in the big, windy city of Chicago. Although it's not windy today, a little rainy, but nice day. And let's see, if we look in the chat room, we get to see what's happening there. I'll hold that. It is in operation. If you're with us on the show, please. I don't think we're going to be able to take calls today because Jeannie isn't available on the website or on the chat room and the switchboard. She was going to get it up on operating, but perhaps there's been some technical difficulty there. In any event, welcome to Mindshifters Radio. We're delighted that you're here. And our project is that of learning and teaching the process of forgiveness and taking that process to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And I'm seeing that, it looks like your phone is not turned on, Tim. I see you in the chat room, and I see dancing. Hello, Nene. Welcome. I'm not sure what's happening with telephones. And Tim, maybe if you could make a quick call to Jeannie and see if she can tell you what's wrong. I don't have the capacity to turn your phone on or anything along those lines, but Nene, I see you're with us in the chat room, and I did answer your email this morning. Nene is a young lady who was at our teacher's training workshop a couple of weeks ago and is getting ready to do her first workshop in Spanish and looking at setting up a location to do a second workshop in English. And so awesome, awesome teacher's training that we had. The comprehension of everybody in that class was just fabulous. And so we're moving forward with the work of forgiveness on planet Earth and inviting everyone who chooses to become part of that process to bring these tools to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And we're glad that you're here to share the work with us. One of the thoughts I had today was to speak about a word that's not very well understood or not very common in the culture. And the word is propitiation. What does propitiation mean? Well, propitiation is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. There's a man named T.S. Eliot who wrote a poem, short and sweet, but it explains propitiation extremely well. And what he says is the highest treason to do the right thing for the wrong reason. And that's propitiation. And it's interesting how much propitiation there is in our world. And, of course, when you look at why, the reason is because we've been taught to do things because of force as a result of punishment. And when we do things as a result of force because of punishment, it usually happens because the one who's doing the punishing doesn't have any clue how to properly discipline a child. The word discipline, by the way, you know, in the what we call the non-being world, the word discipline becomes, has that child been properly beat up and abused and verbally, emotionally traumatized, physically traumatized? If so, then they've been properly punished and disciplined. And that is the biggest fraud that ever existed on planet Earth. The root of the word discipline means disciple. It means properly taught. And when we are properly taught, then we do the right things for the right reasons. But because we come from a long family system and culture of punishment, the child, instead of being taught why it would benefit the child to do a particular behavior a particular way, or to refrain from a particular behavior, what happens is that is beat into them. And being beat into them, what occurs is, okay, I'll do it. And then, sadly, in doing it, they do it out of a state of disease. Because that abuse, that verbal, emotional, physical abuse, leaves the child with an energetic insult and force to bring them to do the right behavior. So if one is 70 years of age and they're still doing the right thing for the incorrect reason, every time that they do whatever that thing is, they're in a disease state. Doing the right thing, they're in a disease state. Because doing that thing causes that force, that abuse, that verbal, emotional, or physical abuse, that threat that was used, it forces someone. Now, if you want to control a culture, you know, you can force them into behavior. You can do things like behavior modification and force them to do things, but as they do them, there's a disease going on because the energetics under the doing of that behavior are the energetics of pain, of trauma. And pain and trauma in the human system is a violation to the human system. And it's time for us to put an end to this game of propitiation on planet Earth, forcing people to do the right thing for the wrong reason. And if we don't know how to teach a child to do the right thing for the wrong reason, that's our responsibility, and we have work to do. Beating on a child to force them into a behavior leaves them in a disease condition the rest of their lives. Excuse me, that is not loving behavior. But you say, oh, but this child will do these terrible things. Then get off your duff and learn to teach them why and how to do the right things for the right reason. And then they'll move forward. They'll do the behavior that you want, but they'll do it out of a space of connectedness and love. You know, one of the Beatitudes, classically they've translated the Beatitudes as a nice philosophy. But if you go to the Aramaic, the Beatitudes are a how-to. And the first Beatitude in the Greek translations, we're told, says, blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And I've heard a lot of preachers try to stretch that propitiation out, try to stretch out, you know, be in a diseased state, be poor, be, you know, in the name of the man who said, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly, be poor, and then everything will be okay at some afterlife. Well, if you go to the Aramaic, what that particular beatitude says is, a latent neural structure implanted by the Creator to guide you to happiness and well-being becomes your conscious possession, you whose home is in the eternal forces from God. And as a parent, we're designed to support the child living in these eternal forces. And the eternal forces, much like air, earth, fire, and water, are eternal energetic systems that operate in the universe. You remember when Yeshua 2,000 years ago was speaking about one of the eternal forces that in Aramaic was called Ruach HaKodesh, when he spoke to the elders of the temple, they didn't have a clue what he was talking about. He said, what, you, the elders, you don't know what this is? And, of course, you can't teach somebody something if you don't know what it is. If you don't live in the eternal forces yourself, you can't teach a child to do that. And out of frustration, out of anger, and out of having been abused oneself, one uses the same tactics as the power person did. Generations and generations and generations of that insanity has been running in our bloodlines for too long. Learn how these forces operate. Have your home in them, and they will teach you how to teach your child to live in those eternal forces rather than running around being terrorized over not doing it right and the fear of being beat up for it. It's just something that needs to change, and it's time for us to get that change going on planet Earth. And Tim, have you had any luck in reaching Jeannie? I can see the chat room, and I just see a couple of comments there. I don't know whether I maybe need to refresh. Let me do a quick refresh and see if there's anything else going on there. So here we are as human beings looking to function out of and live a human life, and somebody tries to beat us up into it. Is there a universe in which that makes any sense at all? I'd offer it makes no sense at all. And it's time for us to wake up to who we are and function out of who we are. Functioning out of who we are. Well, what are we? Who are we? Well, I would offer that you and I are made of the stuff called love. If you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. It is the active presence of love. If you don't know how to function as that active presence of love, then the world has stolen your human life from you. Your world has removed your human life from you. And the work is about reclaiming that human life, moving back to that of being the awesome presence of love that we were designed to be. And when we return to that, we get the chance to live as the presence of love. I'm just going to see. I don't see anything or any going on in the chat room there right now. And so let me see if it's operating. I apologize for these technical difficulties. We're just kind of, so it looks like I'm logged in as Jeannie. And were you able to reach her, Tim? I see you're in the chat room. That's cool. And I don't know if you're hearing my voice because you're not getting a reply back. Oh, okay. A 5.9 earthquake. Joe, where was that? And I'm hearing you too, or I can see you here, Tim. And Joe's writing about an earthquake, the East Coast. Wow. Cell phone's not working because of an earthquake. Ouch. So that's maybe part of our technical difficulty here. Well, behold the East Coast, wherever that was, and a blessing. And we invite everyone to tap in to supporting Virginia and surrounding territory. We just had a 5.9 earthquake. People there are safe. Their property is safe. And we hold space. We stand in our human beingness and send love. And you know, one of the this actually brings up an interesting topic, because so you're saying that Washington D.C. as far as South Chapel Hill, wow. Well, we hold it all in a blessing, but one of the principles that it brings up is the difference between, and it kind of relates to our conversation in a sense. the difference between sympathy and empathy. And you hear about something like this earthquake happening, a lot of people go into sympathy. Oh, that's so terrible. I am so pained, and I send my pain to you as a way of letting you know I'm thinking about you. And, you know, you're really not serving anybody to do that. If you have pain about an event in your life, the thing to do is to tap into your being, heal your pain, forgive, remove your pain, and then you really are supportive of someone when you stand as a space of love for them when they're in a traumatic situation, a traumatic posture. And so that's our invitation for today. Let's see, the D.C. all the way up into New York, Fredericksburg, Virginia. Let's see, the safety of those folks and the presence of love in their hearts growing and expanding, and therefore minimizing the damage and the pain and the trauma that may be experienced through an event like that. And I would imagine it would, if there was any fear in there, it would certainly bring up some fear, to especially with the earthquakes that have been going on around the world. So we just hold safety there. And as we hold safety, we know that the effects will be minimized. So the work today, again, out of forgiveness. What is it that I need to forgive? Is there somebody out there I need to forgive? No. Please, please, please stop forgiving people. Got nothing to do with letting people off the hook for what's happening inside of you. Forgiveness is how I change what's happening inside of me, and that's the idea. That's what we're working with, is to remove what never belonged and to move forward in the world. So whenever the mind is experiencing any form of hostility or fear, what's happening there is that the mind is using corrupt data to literally to generate the images and the pictures that we see. And when we change the content of our minds and get out of the drama and trauma type circumstances and situations and step into the state of a human life, into the state of being, then we minimize the effects of every trauma. And information is stored in the form of electrical impressions in brain cells. And if they're connected to it, if that content is connected to hostility or fear, it distorts and creates corruption in all of the images that we see. You know, the way you can tell that's happening is if someone has anyone accuse you of doing something you've never done, saying something you never said? And, of course, everybody, when I ask that question in the workshop, raises their hand. And notice the state that the person was in when they were in the hallucination of you saying what you didn't say, doing what you didn't do, was they were in some form of hostility or fear when they were receiving their communication or delivering their communication. And hostility and fear distorts the output of the mind. It creates a state in the mind that is just totally and completely off base. I see that Nene is asking, how can we hold a space of love when witnessing an abuse? My next-door neighbor hit his child as I was coming out my door. I saw the child's expression of pain and horror. His lips were blue. I breathed. Well, here's how you do it. You notice that, Nene, you were holding your breath. That means that that event of the child being hit resonated something in you that you haven't yet worked through, and that's why you can't be the space of support for the child and be in the space of love yet. So as you cancel the goal for the child to be treated lovingly, gently, respectfully, which seems totally ridiculous, but when you do that, what will happen is you'll go inside yourself directly to the place in you where that pain has been resonated. And as you remove that pain in you, instead of seeing through a mind with corrupt data in it, you see through a mind of truth. And through that mind of truth, you will be absolutely guided as to exactly what to do to help that parent. And you can bet that the parent was one who was beaten, abused the same way, to help that child. Even if you never say a word, just by being the space of love, you send an energy that begins to soften and dissolve the insanity that leads to child abuse. And as you soften and dissolve it, the child abuse begins to disappear. And you become the space of support and the space of healing for whatever needs to be healed. You'll notice the man named Yeshua, as he brought healing to so many circumstances, stood in that space of being, in that space of love. And so the naysaying in the chat room, I remember my brother and my dad did that, and I could not do anything. And yes, as you do a worksheet on dad, beating up on your brother suffering, on yourself feeling helpless, each of those worksheets would be situations that will tend to remove what never belonged. And when you remove what never belonged, then you go back to your original state of being. When you remove the fear, you remove the pain, you remove the trauma, and maybe the anger or rage at dad or at brother for accepting it, at dad for doing it, then removing those things from yourself, there's nothing left in you to resonate in hostility or fear. With nothing left in you to resonate in hostility or fear, you become the space of love. You function as the space of love. And as you do, you heal, and you're able to hold a space for their healing. And so that would be my input, and where to go with this would be to do those particular worksheets. And in the circumstance, just by taking, you know, as you watch that kind of abuse, just by taking a deep breath, you can process out, you can move a lot of energy that otherwise would tend to render you unconscious. I know Jeannie and I were at a store, oh, this just goes back a few weeks ago, and we were coming out, and there was a little boy, maybe 3 years of age, and he's, you know, they're coming out the store where they've got all the things that they had advertised on television for kids to incline them, to try to drive them to buying those things. And so the child, of course, wants those things and gets into a fuss with mother, and mother grabs him and rather roughly and walks out the door with him and right behind him. And here's the child learning to give up its human life, and here's the child in propitiation. So here's a three-year-old child who already knows what to do to manipulate mother into not beating on him. Sad that the child would have to learn this, but this child, in a teary, crying voice, says, "Mom, I love you. Don't beat me." How bizarre is that? That a three-year-old child has already learned that love is approval, and "Mom, I'll approve of you, and I'll approve of you so you'll stop beating me." Now, I don't know how many times that child had been beaten, but you can rest assured if it's saying, "Mom, don't beat me, I love you," that it's been beaten a significant number of times already by the age of three. That's just a little boy. And I suspect that, you know, when I think back to that little boy, that probably he'll end up about a six-foot bruiser. And you know what's going to happen when the stress is up and the chips are down and his wife starts to fuss at him? The representative of the person who beat him when he was three and was not as physically able to defend himself, you know what's going to happen, don't you? He's probably, unless somebody intervenes and teaches him forgiveness, he's probably going to beat on her. And then they're going to call him a spouse abuser, or vice versa. Girls do the same thing. Actually, in terms of spousal abuse and child abuse, the statistics of women abusing spouses and children are just as bad, if not worse, especially with child abuse, with women. Why? Because somebody beat on them, and that's within this body-mind unit. And until we remove that, and, you know, somebody coming over, you know, what's the average person want to do with a child abuser? They want to abuse them. Why? Because if they abuse them, then they're doing whatever has been locked into their structure, and in doing what has been locked into their structure, they simply repeat the patterns of the generations. That was called living in the desert. So when we live in the desert, we end up getting lost in the state of unconsciousness. And this cycle of trying to force a child to do something, whether it's for the right reason or not, leaves that child disabled and disabused all their lives, in whatever arena that is. And, of course, the abused becomes the abuser, and the cycle goes on. We're looking to interrupt that cycle and to wake up to who we are. Tim, I hear your little throat clearing back there. We made it, finally.
Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd.
It's a miracle.
It is. Well,
so how are you being this morning? How is your practice going? Thank you for welcoming me into your home. Both you and Christy, it's wonderful to be here. I'm sitting up in the office, connected to the internet, and things are rolling along.
Well, it's going quite well, staying busy, and I'm thrilled to have you here and have the workshops going as well as they are. We had even more people there last night than we did on Sunday afternoon, and hoping for another good crowd tonight, and regardless of the size of the crowd, for the powerful shifts that people are having as they get exposed to this material and build the ability to understand it. I had quite a few people come to me last evening with testimonials. These are many of the people who are attending the workshop are people who attend the group either sporadically or regularly. And I had another experience of a gentleman who goes to the group on a regular basis, and he came to the workshop on Sunday and brought his 20-year-old son and was giving me the update yesterday saying that his son was really getting it and understood and was being able to open the space so that when the father and son have a conflict, he's going to be able to understand that it's not his father trying to beat him down or control him. It's just a communication issue, and that his father ultimately just wants to extend love. And, you know, the father, in relaying it to me, was tearing up, and you could see that it's been a powerful impact on him and his son to have exposure to these tools. So, again, I just encourage anybody that has the option to look into these tools, to pick up the worksheet and start using it. And if at all possible, be brave and take the next step and start a support group in your area. And we'll be happy to support that in any way we can.
Yeah, there's that African proverb that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And certainly we want to go far together. And as we surround ourselves with people who have the brain cells for these tools, then we've got support everywhere we turn. And that's just awesome to have that kind of support. And, of course, that's why we have Mindshifters Radio happening 5 days a week, so that as we travel anywhere in the world, anyone who wants to tap into these tools can receive support for their internal healing process.
And are you still looking for and taking input for a venue for this next week if someone in the Chicago area is opening, or have you found something already?
We have not found anything as yet, and we're wide open. If somebody in Chicago wants to open the space, and we do have next week open and clear to do another series if we find a venue that wants to support it. It would be nice to have perhaps another church get involved where there's an audience that we can present to perhaps on Sunday and continue. And, of course, next Sunday, if that comes together, next Sunday we do another Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop for those that missed it, and then we pick up and do a different and complementary series of workshops so that folks would be able to pick up a broader set of skills with all the different tools. We have about 15 different workshops that we do, so we do a complementary and different set of workshops next week if that all comes together.
And tonight you're going to be presenting Healing Through Relationships.
Tonight, Healing Through Relationships.
And then tomorrow the Circle of Life and How to Play It.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday, Codependence to Interdependence. And I hate to say it because it's coming up so fast, but Friday you'll do Naturopathic Keys to Health. And with a few more people lined up Saturday will be the all-day introduction to Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing intensive from 8 to 6.
So, yes, sir, that'll be the plan. For anybody that wants to join us, you know where we'll be. We're in Cary, Illinois at the Center for Spiritual Evolution, and 7 to 9:30 each evening. Free open workshops tonight, tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. We'd be delighted to have you. Saturday, there is a fee for the workshop. It's the one workshop that when we travel, we charge a fee for. And our commitment is, let's get these tools into people's hands. So here we are to do it. We would like to be on the team and have the blessing and the opportunity. It was a very excited group last night. I don't know, was there anything in particular? Last night's workshop was on creating consciousness. Anything in particular that struck you last night, Tim?
I think the biggest thing that struck me was how it's shifted from the past, well, from the lecture that we have on DVD. The core of it is the same, but some of the ways that you're discussing and presenting the material, it's slipping out of my head right now, but I remember sitting there last night making some notes and saying, now that's different. He hasn't used that quote in here before and that perspective. And if I remember correctly, you used to do the visualization about, or maybe not, maybe you didn't do a visualization about the four levels of moving from never enough up to abundance.
Well, we used to do the three scenarios, and I still do, just that last night some other material came in that took precedence, and so we didn't actually do that.
Have people visualizing being in poverty and then
poverty. Right.
Yeah.
So that didn't come into last night's workshop with the other material that did come in. And, I'll never forget the first time I got on a platform to present. I knew everything I was going to say. I had my material down pat. And I got up on the platform. I had committed to doing two one-hour presentations in someone else's class. And it was so terrible. I mean, it was so disorganized and confused and inside out and upside down that I almost never got on the platform again. If I hadn't been committed to doing that second hour that weekend, I maybe never would have gotten on the platform again. But I did get on the platform, and what I did is I set my notes aside. And what I came to understand, I didn't really understand it at that point. I just intuitively set my notes aside. But what I realized was that I functioned intuitively, and I didn't know that about myself. It was actually a couple of years later that I realized that. And what had happened was that I was listening to the questions of the audience internally and trying to follow the script of my notes. And while I have outlined through the workshops, it's never done the same way twice, because I listen with that intuitive mind to what's this particular audience? What is this composite of people need to hear? What would be most functional? And that's the direction the workshop will go. And that's always where the new material comes in. I get the blessing of getting to engage in tens of thousands of people's questions, and it's their questions that teach me. And so we don't always cover the same material, and certainly not the same way every time, because there are different needs and different questions and different energies in the room.
Well, the other thing that struck me was and there aren't really words for it, but each time I listen to this and I'm staying open, I get a realization that at a slightly different or a slightly deeper level, I'm not sure that deep applies here, but a realization of how when I have something in my life, it's there, even if I don't like it, perhaps especially if I don't like it, it's there to show me that I've been asking for this. And if I don't know how I've been asking for it, I can use tools to uncover where I'm spending my energy and how, and how I'm not living from that space of love at the unconscious heart level, and how I'm clearly living from an anger or fear or lack perspective at the heart level. And the proof of it is because that's what's here in my life. And the fact that I have discomfort over it isn't a problem or a punishment. It's my warning system telling me, Tim, you're off course. Just change course. Just go back to the basics. Just put your focus back on your source's love, and all of this will be corrected, because you've created it to be this painful way, and the pain is there to let me know I've created an error, and if I shift my focus gently without blaming myself or my circumstances, I will move without effort into that space of love, and the results of that will be evident in my life.
Precisely.
That's what I was moved by most last night.
Cool.
It also reminded me of the quote from Guy Finley, where he says, most people have interpreted a biblical passage, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. And today most people interpret that as meaning, if I do these steps, I'm going to have all this good stuff. I'm going to get abundance and money and cars and relationships. And his work with an ancient Aramaic translation brings that passage out quite differently. And it says, love above all things, the rule of divine life, and its completely equitable or balanced character. And in doing so, all your concerns shall be placed in a passive position within you. And he goes on to say, that quote has nothing whatsoever to do with acquiring one thing. It has to do with moving to the position of, well, ask yourself this question. What would you rather have? Everything that comes and goes that you think is going to make you happy, so then you have to fret and worry about keeping it or protecting it or getting more of it? Or freedom from everything that comes and goes? And if you seek...
Definitely one position better than the other.
Yeah. And if you seek the kingdom of heaven, which is that space of love you're created from, that human life as you refer to it, then there won't be any longing for or fretting at the loss of all these external things. And the external things will be there as you need them, abundantly as you need them, as long as you don't mentally, emotionally, psychologically create an attachment to them, which instantly creates the fear of losing them and the pain of not having enough of them.
Right.
I got some of that from your talk last night.
Ah. Awesome.
So keep talking. Yeah, I'll keep listening.
our topic last night, for those who weren't there at the workshop, was on creating consciously, and what Tim's talking about and what Guy Finley is referring to is that claim your creatorship and create out of a conscious posture of your human life, being, which is love, and everything gets handled. If you try to create your life out of the dramas and traumas of the past generations and never change the root of the dramas and traumas of the past generations, then, of course, you get to create the dramas and traumas of the past generations over and over again. They look different. There are different people to blame. And, of course, you get to run away from those people who do those terrible things to you, like you're an innocent victim. And as you run away from those people, you set about creating it again and again and again. When we stop, move inside, take time to take care of ourselves and do our work, then we find the parts of our minds that are literally crazy. And that is, how do you tell if there's a part of your mind that's crazy? is your physiology still capable of producing any form of hostility or fear? Which, of course, we all have that. And that's where our work is cleaning out the hostility and fear, forgiving, removing what never belonged to the human life, reclaiming the human life, and stepping into a whole new posture. And that's what we're here to support you in with the tool of forgiveness in particular. And in the On Creating Consciously, and if that topic sounds interesting to you, you can go to our website, www.whyagain.com, and on the right-hand side, you'll find a link that says products. And you can order a 2-hour DVD or a 4-hour CD of that workshop on Creating Consciously, and that will give you more information on what we're speaking of there. There are actually 15 different DVDs on the website. Pardon me, 16 different DVDs of our workshops. And there are 5 different sets of CDs. The CDs are 4-hour sets, and the DVDs are 2-hour. And one of those is a 4-hour. So if you go to the website, you'll find all that information. And if you're ready to move your work forward, come play with us in Chicago. We're here to support you. And the next several nights, we'll be doing a free series of workshops. We'll be heading back to Heartland. We have a 9-day intuitive development, 1 intensive left for the year, and that will be September the 16th through the 24th. We'll start on Friday the 16th and go through a week the following Saturday. So people who are working would need to take 1 week off of work and a day off Friday to travel. If people are flying in, they fly into Springfield, Missouri, and then we have a transportation service that brings them down to the center, about 2 hours away. And, of course, returns into the airport. So if you want to take your work to the next level, you might want to think about that intensive. September the 16th to the 24th, we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? We'll go deeply into the forgiveness process. And then we'll move into mind shifters and still point breathing and intuitive development, which is developing the spiritual skill. It's called one of the 5 smooth stones. Developing the spiritual skill of accessing information directly rather than through your mind. Einstein has an interesting quote in that regard. He says, we've been given this awesome gift called intuition and a rational mind, and we've thrown away the gift and made a god. In essence, he says, we've made a god of the rational mind. And people think that reason and thinking is the highest faculty of man, and they throw away this awesome gift. Einstein, the genius, you know, when Einstein was in school, here's the kind of intellect Einstein had. When Einstein was in school, one of his teachers called his parents in and said, well, you know, don't ever suspect or expect that this young boy is ever going to be successful at anything because he's really pretty dull. So his mind wasn't that awesome a device, obviously. People call him a giant intellect. Guess what? He wasn't a giant intellect. What he did was he lived in being. He said 90% of his work was intuition. Do you want to move into your true genius? Intuition is where you get that kind of genius. The educated mind is a piece of dirt by comparison. I don't care if you've got all the PhDs, you know, piled high and deep all over the place. Your intuitive mind will take you 1,000 steps further, 1,000 times more quickly, with much more accurate information than all the so-called education the world will do for you. The world honors the education because, as Einstein says, we've honored this rational mind. And the rational mind is simply designed to be a servant, according to Einstein. So if you want to develop this genius part of yourself, a part that has access directly, as Einstein had access directly. You know, if you look at the giants of the last century, very few of them had any education. Education, so-called education, tends to shut down this intuitive faculty and lock us into the rational mind. Why would somebody want to lock us into the rational mind when it's so inferior? Because if you're in the inferior state, you're controllable. And it's just time for us to wake up to who we are. And as we wake up and as we function as true human beings, this awesome thing happens. And the awesome thing that happens is we get to function out of direct information from the world. It's called the intuitive faculty. Come play with us. September the 16th to the 24th. So tonight we're doing Healing Through Relationships, and, you know, that's a workshop that I used to call Healing Your Relationships. And then I realized that there's no such thing as a diseased relationship. What we've called as a diseased relationship is a perfect setup, a perfect opportunity for us to learn to heal ourselves. And so it's through our interactions and relationships that we get to change the parts of our mind that are in need of changing, where we get to heal those parts of ourselves that reflect in our relationships. Because ultimately, every upset is done with smoke and mirrors. And so when we start to remove the mirrors and start to look directly at ourselves, awesome, awesome things happen inside of our minds and inside of our bodies. Things change in ways that one could never imagine. And that's what we're here to support you in, is changing things in your life in ways that until you start to do it, you know, in the ancient teachings, they said the mind of man has not yet conceived what's possible. And what's possible is an awesome direct contact with everything that's going on around us all the time. And, you know, Nene, when you asked that question about watching this child next door be abused, and, you know, it's the pain in ourselves that keeps us functioning out of the intuitive mind. If I were to handle all of my pain around that situation where I see a child being abused, then my rational mind would not be jumping in and interfering. My intuitive mind could go directly to that man who's doing the abuse, or I don't know if you said it was a man or a woman, whatever it was. Let's roll up here. You just said your neighbor. You could go with intuition directly to that person's mind and have communication about what could bring healing. What would be the approach that would open that person's mind if there's any possibility of an opening for healing that situation? It's the intuitive faculty that will give it to you. And so that's part of what we're here to support you in having. That awesome intuitive space called being. And functioning out of that. So let's just check the chat room real quick. No other questions there. I wish we could take calls today. Let's see. What have you got for us, Nene? Hi, Tim. You're doing my reality management worksheet. It took me some time. So, Nene, we hold the space and we support you. We're here to especially support you as a teacher and moving through the work that you will move through as you go into deeper and deeper levels of teaching. It's an awesome opportunity. And, of course, when you choose to teach, what happens is that your process accelerates. Once you make that commitment, once you go to a new level of commitment, a new level of energy, you draw in deeper and more meaningful circumstances with which to heal whatever it is that needs to be healed. So that's the process that we're here to engage in and the process we're here to support you in. Do you have any other thoughts for us?
Well, I was just trying to respond to Nene about the worksheets and tell her I was just trying to send love and support her in doing the worksheet process. I know that in the in discussing things like this, often people get very emotional and say, well, you know, you should step in, you should intervene, you should do something. And if you hadn't been able to talk or read her response, I was going to suggest that the first level is for her to breathe and calm down and realize that the adult who's hitting the child is in pain, or he or she would not be hitting anybody. That what comes out of me is more about me than anybody I direct it towards. The next thing would be that if I'm breathing, I'm centered, I can think more clearly, I get oxygen to my brain, and I can hopefully keep myself from going into the fight or flight response, which would have me acting without thought and attacking. the adult that I think is in trouble. If I'm in a situation like that and I've taken a breath and it's important and I can step in and physically protect someone who's smaller, that's one thing. But the next thing to do is, just as you said, look into me, what got stirred up in me. And as Nene was so willing to do and share, she has pain from her beliefs that she's locked down about herself and her world from when her brother was hurt. And so then that's where the internal work is, to do the worksheets, to do the dismantling of all the beliefs she holds about herself and the people in her world that contributed to the false realities she's holding on to that are getting stirred up when she sees a child get hit. So there have been times when in a sane mind, I have stepped in to intervene. There was one case that pops to mind. I was a young adult, and I went out to a dance club, and I wasn't a big drinker. I was quite sober, but I loved to dance. And as I was getting in my car to leave, there was a woman trying to get out of her car and a man grabbing her arm and trying to pull her back in, and she was screaming. So I stepped over to the car, and I simply said very calmly, "I wouldn't do that if I were you." And he let go of her and got out of the car and got up in my face and started threatening. And he said, "What are you going to do about it?" And I said, I'm not going to do much, but I'll call the police if I need to." And, you know, I wasn't angry at him, and I wasn't going to knock him down or call him names or yell at him for abusing anybody. I was able to just be there and be calm and say to him, "Here's what I'll do if you try to restrain her." And while I was doing that with him, she ran into safety, and he stormed back to his car and drove away. So, you know, if I had gone at him in anger or rage because he was hurting someone, it would have been a whole different scene, and I might have had charges against me for battery, or he might have hurt me physically. You never know.
Right.
So that's something that came to mind. I've been blessed to have those kinds of situations 3 or 4 times in my life, and I remember each of them clearly, where I didn't go into the fight or flight response, and I was just able to say calmly to someone, "If you keep doing this, here's what I'll do." And it was simply protecting someone who was smaller or weaker. And it diffused the situation.
Right. And one of the things that might be worth looking at, too, is as I listened to your regulatory speech and you're talking about how I wasn't going to get angry and I wasn't going to, you know, there were several things you said you weren't going to do. And that might indicate that on the underlying level, there was some of that anger and some of that desire to retaliate, and that might be a good place to do some worksheets and look at.
I'm sure there was, because this was quite a bit earlier in my life, and I didn't know anything about the worksheet process, and I had all kinds of deep emotional responses about domestic violence. I was a psychologist. I worked in the field in corrections, and yeah, so I'm sure you're right. I can go dig in there and find some real important worksheets to do.
Yeah, it's probably some gold in that, and I think we're down to about maybe 45 seconds or so, and so we're ready to sign off and say that we hold the space for everyone to have the best year yet of your eternal life. Download that sample radio show. Download the worksheet. Start putting the pen to the paper. This is our 80-something day of celebrating Memorial Day. We invite you to join us in that celebration. Heal something in your life today. Blessings.